It's certainly good to be here this morning, and I'm always grateful for the opportunity to get up before you and present God's Word. It's an honor and a privilege. I would like to welcome everyone here this morning, and I know I'm so encouraged by your presence being here. I know that God is smiling down on your decision to be here this morning, and I truly hope that you are blessed and encouraged because of that. It's on days like today that I'm truly thankful to be a Christian, to have faith and hope in God, because I know that if I was to only put my hope in Aggie football, I would be a most depressing life. So it's on days like today I'm so thankful for the faith that I have, the hope that I have in Christ, because I can certainly tell you without a doubt that He will never let you down, unlike some football teams. As we turn our attention to the spiritual matters, I have an example, if you would allow me to. I'd like to look at a phrase this morning. This is a phrase that I heard whenever I was in high school and when I was playing sports. I know I've used a lot of sports as examples lately, but we can draw so many conclusions and applications within our lives from those. But this phrase being, and this is what I was, as a team, what we were told, it says, "There is no limit to what can be accomplished when no one cares who gets the credit." And at the time, whenever you're in high school, you don't really think about these things. You just go through the motions, and you're just ready to play football or make a hit or make the basket, or maybe you're trying just to run the race in track. But to think about these things, there is no limit to what can be accomplished when no one cares who gets the credit. It's truly unbelievable what can happen whenever we are selfless, especially in sports, the things that we can achieve. And I think that this promotes selflessness. A few minutes, I'm going to make an example of an NBA team. So if you're a basketball fan, I apologize if I misspeak. But this coming from an NBA basketball team, this was back in 2021. The Los Angeles Lakers, they were trying to revamp their team so that way they could win that championship. And what they did is they tried to gather the most successful, the best players within basketball. They had on this team, they had five MVP players, four Defensive of the Year players, 55, and this was of the makeup of the team between all of them. They had 55 All-Stars, 46 All-NBA players, 17 All-Defense players, four-time scoring champion, five-time rebound leaders, four-time assist leaders, five-time block leaders, and eight gold medals. This is all made up within this NBA team of the Los Angeles Lakers. They're one of the most distinguished teams because of who they had on their team. But then when we begin to look at the accomplishments that they made, I think that we'll be surprised. They ended up, their record ended up being 33-49. They lost more games than they won. I think as we begin to consider these things, if we begin to answer why, maybe there were too many on the team trying to receive the credit. We know that within a game of basketball, we can't have five players that score 40 points a game. That's almost impossible. I think there's too many players trying to receive their credit. There's too many Chiefs and not enough Indians, if you like to use that phraseology too. So within looking at this, I'd like to look at this saying about there is no limit to what can be accomplished when no one cares who gets the credit. But I'd like to shift it a little bit to this phrase saying there is no limit to what can be accomplished when we care that Christ gets the credit. We'll try to make three quick points this morning, but I believe whenever we're all playing for Christ, whenever we all have Christ at the forefront of our minds, there really truly is no limit to what we can accomplish as Christians. As we look at within our own hearts, or are we striving as individuals to attain individual goals, or are we all working together for the goal of Christ? So now, as we begin to turn our minds to Scripture, if you would, I would invite you to open in your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. This is where we'll start this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 21, thinking about putting Christ first, because He is the one that is deserving of our credit, is deserving of our praise, and then looking at what all can be attained because of our mindset and our mentality. In 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse number 21, it says, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you as an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor is any deceit found in His mouth. And while being reviled, He did not revile in return. And while suffering, He uttered no threats, but keeping and trusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed." As we begin to develop these points, I would like it to be present in our minds that first, just as they were called here in the first century by the gospel of Christ to the service of God, we are also called today. I think that this morning we'll look at why it is so important and what the importance of giving Christ the credit, giving Christ the praise, is point number one. And also, what should that produce within our hearts? What type of attitude should that produce within us? And then number three is, what does that mean for us as Christians today, as followers of Christ? So going to point number one, why does Jesus deserve our praise? In John chapter 1, in verse number 29, we can begin to describe and put a mental picture within our minds of why Christ is deserving of all of the credit and why He is deserving of all of our praise. In John chapter 1 and verse number 29, it says, "The next day He saw Jesus coming to Him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" I think this describes it plainly to us that no one but Christ could take away our sins. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 11, we read it, and it says, "As such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God." And it is only through Christ that we are able to attain a pure life, a pure heart, meaning by being washed of our sins, because He was, as it says in verse number 29 of John chapter 1, that He was the one that would take away the sins of the world. He's deserving of our praise because He was that perfect Lamb, that Lamb that was slain for us. Christ is the only way to salvation for each and every one of us. I think that as we look around the religious world today, we can see so many times that there are so many ways or so many paths that men produce so that we might attain salvation. But as we look to Scripture and as we look to the Word of God, we see that there is truly only one way to salvation. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse number 4, it says, "But there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were also called, and one hope of your calling." And then verse number 5, "There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and one God the Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all." Here, as Paul writes, that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Although when we look around us, we see that so many offered many different pathways to obtain salvation for us. But we have to realize, as Christians, as Paul writes here through inspiration, there is truly only one way. And as we looked at before, that one way is only found in Christ. And that is truly why Jesus deserves our praise and deserves the credit for each and every one of our salvation. And then in John chapter 14 and verse number 6, we read that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." We have to realize that salvation is only through Christ, and it's only through reaching the blood of Christ that is in baptism when we're washed of our sins. We can also realize that Christ is the light of the world. This is another reason why He's deserving of our praise. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we can read about the light of the world and how that contradicts the darkness that is in so often that we see around us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4, it says, "In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So often the world tries to darken, if you will, the light that Christ shines so brightly, that we ought to be Christians who do not allow that darkness to affect our life, because the world will try to hide the light that Christ has shown. But are we as Christians today trying to take the light to others, to not let that darkness overtake the light? And these are all reasons why Christ is the one who is deserving of our praise. I think we could also ask ourselves, how often are we to offer this praise to Christ because of these things? In Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 15, I believe the Hebrew writer answers this for us. It says, "Through Him, then continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name." It's something that we ought to do continually. It ought to be on the forefront of our minds each and every day, because of the great things, the great sacrifice that Christ has made for us. We ought to continually offer Christ the praise and offer Him the credit for all that He has done within us. And then that brings us to point number two. What type of attitude should this produce within each and every one of us? If we go back to the phrase that we began this morning with, it, that there is no limit to what can be accomplished when we care that Christ gets the credit. What type of attitude should that produce within us? In Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse number 1, I believe that we can see here an attitude of selflessness. We could ask ourselves, how selfless was the sacrifice of Christ? If Christ gave it all for us, then why would we not be willing to give it all to Him today? In Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse number 1, it says, "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if there is any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves." We see here an attitude of selflessness that we ought to have as Christians. And then in the latter part of verse number 2, we see that He was intent on one purpose. If we are intent on that one purpose of living our lives for Christ, of taking Christ to others, we will surely have an attitude of selflessness. I think that we can also see another attribute or characteristic that we ought to have, and that being of humility. We see this in James chapter 4, verse number 10. It says, "Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you." If we humble ourselves, He will exalt you. What does this exalt mean? This exalt means that you will be lifted up. When we have this attitude, we begin to see the effects, if you will, of our attitude towards God. If we humble ourselves, God will lift us up. He will lift, He will exalt you. We begin to see the benefits of these things. We can also see that we are called to have an attitude of perseverance. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 4, we can see this plainly written to us, having an attitude of perseverance. It says, starting and backing up to verse number 3, it says, "And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proving character, and proving character hope. And the hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit that was given to us. I believe that this is the type of character that God expects of us. We can see all the things that Christ did for us. And why not for us today persevere because of the things that Christ has done for us? We can also see that we're called to have an attitude of service. If we turn over to Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse number 3, I believe we can see this attitude of service. Colossians chapter 3, in verse number 3 says, For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immortality, impurity, passion, and evil desire and greed, which amounts to idolatry. We need to have an attitude of following Christ, no matter what it costs us. I believe sometimes it's hard for us to put Christ first in our lives because we all have the things that we enjoy. We all have jobs. We all have hobbies. But I think it's important for us to realize that those were only given to us because of Christ, because of what He has given to us, that we're able to enjoy those things. So let us not forget that we must realize who has given us these things and not let them slide out of priority, that we need to keep Christ at the forefront of our minds. Not saying that we can't enjoy the things that we have been blessed with, but not let us get them out of priority. I think that these are only a few of the many that we could have looked at when we talked about the attitude that this should produce within us. And then moving on to point number 3. We can ask ourselves, what can be gained by giving Christ the praise? What can be gained by giving Christ all of the credit? If we turn back to Acts chapter 5, I believe we can see several examples here of the good that can come from giving Christ our praise, giving Christ the credit. We've seen so often, so many times before in the passages that we looked at earlier on, that it is only through Christ that we're able to attain salvation. We're only through Christ that we're to be able to have a pure and righteous heart. And then in Acts chapter 5, starting verse number 42, this is what I believe it should produce within us. Acts chapter 5, starting in verse number 42. It says, And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. And then just turning a few chapters over to chapter 8 in verse number 2, it says, Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. And then moving on to verse number 12. Says, But then they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, that they were being baptized, men and women alike. When the things that can be gained by us giving Christ the credit, when we talk about these things, how much Christ has given to us, why not on our part take that and be able to share that with others? We know that we mentioned so often how Christ deserves our praise, and why not share that with others? I think that we can also see the spiritual blessings that follow. We can see this especially in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, that it is only through Christ and in Christ that we receive these blessings. And in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse number 22, it says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with His passions and desires. If and when we begin to submit and humble ourselves before God, all these things can be added to us. We can enjoy the joy and the peace and the kindness and the goodness of God. And these things can be added to our lives, which is such an encouragement to us today, I believe. And then John chapter 16 and verse number 33, it says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. I believe that, especially when we look into the world around us today, that there are so many trials and tribulations, and there is a lack of peace within the world. But I believe truly when we look intently at God's Word, we can find a peace that surpasses all understanding because of the hope that we have of all eternity. And Jesus provides a peace that is incomparable to anything that the world could provide to us today. And then looking at Romans chapter 5 and verse number 2, we can also see the hope that we do have in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 2. It says, through whom we have also obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. When we have a hope in the glory of God, this glory of God refers to the blessings that God will give Christians whenever we enter into heaven. I think that this should make us some of the most joyful people because of what we have to look forward to. And then just turning over is just a few chapters to Romans chapter 15 and verse number 13. In Romans 15:13 it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I think where our hope is, wherever our hope is rooted, it should be within His Word that He's given to us. It's given to us by God, as we can also see in Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse number 13, when it says, in Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was the first installment of our inheritance in regard to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. You know, these are all things that can be added to us if we put Christ first. So as we begin to conclude the lesson this morning, we have looked at that Christ is deserving of our praise. He's deserving of the credit. We've also looked at, number two, the type of attitude that should produce within us as Christians. And then number three, what can be gained by giving Christ the praise that comes from giving and submitting our life to Him. I truly believe that there is no limit to what we can accomplish when we care that Christ gets all the credit. I think that whenever we think about these things, that if we are a team, if you will, that is centered around Christ, if we're all playing for Him and serving Him and giving Him the credit, because there truly is no one else that is deserving of it. And so with that, we offer the Lord's invitation this morning. If you would like to become a member of the church, put Christ on it in baptism, to enjoy these blessings that we have talked about, to begin your life of service to Him, we ask that you would come as we stand and sing, or if there is any that might need a prayers of the congregation or have any need, now would be the time as we stand and we're led in the invitation song.